Morning, everybody, and welcome back to Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast here on 88.1 WYPR. I'm Tom Hall. One of the hit shows of the summer TV season has been ABC's documentary series Hopkins, a six-part follow-up to a similar series that aired 8 years ago. Both critically acclaimed shows focus on doctors at various stages in their careers. A book published in 2006 gives a fascinating history of the other medical professionals who are so important to the successful treatment of patients at Hopkins and at every other hospital in the United States, the nurses. It's called Our Shared Legacy, Nursing Education at Johns Hopkins from 1889 through 2006. Joining me in the studio is one of the book's co-authors, Mame Warren, and Deb Baker. She's the director of nursing in the Department of Surgery at Johns Hopkins Hospital. She's also a nurse practitioner, teacher, and president of the Alumni Association at the Hopkins School of Nursing. Thanks and welcome to you both. Good to see you.
Good morning.
Thank
John.
You. Good morning.
Good to have you here. Now, Mame, let me start with you. Nursing education, as this book indicates, starts way back at Hopkins in 1889. Give us a sense of what nursing education was like back then.
Well, it was a profession already, and it really found its footing in the Civil War, but it was all the epidemics, all the various things that had gone on before where people needed to be nursed, but they were being nursed many times just by relatives, began to make people realize how important professional nursing would be. And one of those people who realized that need was a man called Johns Hopkins. And so when he drew up his will and made his plans for his university and his hospital, he actually put it right in the will that the hospital would be separate from the university and that the hospital would have a training school for nurses. So it was part of the original plan from the very beginning.
Wow, so a bequest from Hopkins himself. Now, who were the people back in those early years? Who were the folks who were studying nursing?
Well, right from the beginning, they tended to be well-educated women. They often were women who came from the teaching profession, who found that they didn't really like teaching, but they wanted to be professional women. They were usually middle class women who wanted to do something with their lives, something professional with their lives. And nursing seemed to be, there weren't many options for women back in those days. Mm-hmm. And nursing seemed to be a very attractive profession for many, many very brilliant women.
And Deb Baker, you have, as I understand it, 3 degrees from the School of Nursing. Is that right?
I have two.
Two.
And
you're working on a third one, huh? So, and when you finish this third one, that will be what kind of degree?
A doctorate in nursing practice.
So you'll be a nurse and a doctor.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go. Well, congratulations on that. And tell us, what sort of degrees are nurses getting these days? I mean, back in the day, people, when someone became an RN, what did that, a registered nurse, what did that entail? And are most people doing that, or are they getting additional training?
Well, most people, if you talk about nationally, there still are very different ways to become an RN, a registered nurse. There are diploma programs and community college programs, two to two and a half year degrees. And there's the baccalaureate program, which is pretty much the beginning of the ladder for advanced practice and study. So you need a bachelor's in the science of nursing, a BSN, in order to go on for a master's and then for a doctorate, which could be a PhD, a research degree, a doctorate of nursing practice, which I'm about to embark on, which is much more of a practice-focused doctorate. And then there's doctorates in nursing science.
So if a patient finds herself in the hospital, will the people that are caring for her be people that have got 4-year degrees from colleges or 2-year degrees that are RN degrees in the main?
It could be either.
Yeah, yeah. And when did men start becoming nurses? You talk about this, Mame, in the book a little bit, but was it the early 70s, I guess?
Well, at Johns
Hopkins.
Yes, at Johns Hopkins. Johns Hopkins has had a very mixed history through its nursing education. It has not been a straight line. And so we've had three different schools of nursing, only two of which have been part of the university. And we had two graduates of the original hospital school that was associated with the hospital. That school closed in 1973. There were two graduates from that original school. Then when the brief interim school of health services that had three classes, there were numerous men in that. And today, what would you say the numbers are, Deb? About 10 to 15% mm-hmm. of the classes yeah. are men.
And does that
a minority?
Yeah, and does that statistic hold through the profession? I mean, are about 15% of the nursing
about right.
force?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So
it's
men want minority scholarships, come into nursing.
There you go. There's an idea. That's Mame Warren. She is the director of Hopkins History Enterprises and the co-author and editor of Our Shared Legacy, a book on the history of nursing education at Johns Hopkins. Deb Baker is here as well. She's a nurse practitioner and president of the Alumni Association at the Hopkins School of Nursing. This is Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast on 88.1 WYPR. I'm Tom Hall. So, Mame, then clarify for me, what is the current relationship between the School of Nursing and Johns Hopkins Hospital?
It's a full division of the university, but it was a struggle to get that way. And that's one of the real dramas that we pursue in this book. I had two co-authors, Linda Sabin and Fran Keene, who had already completed the history up to the end of the second school. And then I came in and did many, many oral histories. I interviewed people who were alumni and members of the faculty and administration of all three schools.
So this drama between the School of Nursing and the university, what was part of, what was the drama?
Program.
What was going on?
Well, there was a struggle for many years about the nursing students were essentially the staff of the Johns Hopkins Hospital. It's unlike today when there are many professional nurses and the students come in occasionally and spend time in the clinic, but most of their effort is in the classroom. Back in the early days with that hospital school, the students were working.
They were the staff.
They were the staff, right. And they were working 8 to 12 hour days on top of their classroom time.
A couple of your oral histories in this book refer to it as almost slave labor.
It was slave labor. They lived right there, right across the street. They were on call during the World War II and World War I when many of the professional nurses that we did have at the hospital went off to serve in the war. The students, I don't know, it seems like they practically educated themselves because there were so few people there
right.
to do the educating, mm-hmm. and they learned by doing.
But so that making the School of Nursing part of the university gets rid of all of that, and they're really established as students who are learning mm-hmm. their profession and not expected to be the staff
exactly.
of the hospital.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Deb Baker, are there any particular innovations in the field of nursing that have emanated from Hopkins in particular?
There's many. List of many leaders who have gone on to lead national nursing organizations, as well as theoretical frameworks in nursing have been tested at Hopkins.
What's a theoretical framework in general? How does that work?
A theoretical framework is a paradigm of how to care for patients, a care delivery mm-hmm. Philosophy, if you will. What are the priorities and the values around caring for patients and who should be caring for them and making those decisions and some of the critical thinking around that. The professional practice model in the early 80s, which was a model of nursing kind of taking control of the operations of a unit and its staffing and its governance and its budgeting. So it was very fiscally responsible as well as operationally responsible and quality. So a group of nurses on a unit staffing the unit to take care of that group of patients and their complexity.
And so these are models that have been adopted by other hospitals around the world.
Yeah. And we're the first designated magnet hospital in the state of Maryland. We just went for our redesignation for magnet.
And what is a magnet hospital?
That is a hospital that's recognized by the American Nursing Credentialing Center as having exceeded in areas of leadership and education and training of nursing and nursing practice. You have to demonstrate. It's a very large application, and you have to demonstrate strength in all those areas, and then apply, have a visit, be visited, and this credentialing center meets with all areas of the hospital looking for multidisciplinary and innovative and evidence-based practice.
And we all know about the shortage of nurses in the market. Hospitals are, you know, doing all sorts of things to recruit people into the profession. Maine's making a good play for the guys to throw their hat in the ring. What is being done, and what is, in your experience as a practicing nurse and a person who's so involved in the field, what can be done to attract more people to the profession?
Well, I think that if people are educated about the diversity in nursing and the opportunity. At Hopkins, I was trained at the School of Nursing and have worked at the hospital for the last 17 years. I'm currently a director of nursing in surgery. And Hopkins, across the street at the school or in the hospital, offers many opportunities for nurses to take care of patients at the bedside or become leaders in nursing practice for the country. It's an incredible opportunity both in the community and globally. Hopkins is known around the world, and we're active around the world, sending students from across the street and also from the hospital. So I think the message is that there's an incredible amount of opportunity. You could have a 20-year career doing 6 or 7 very different roles and in nursing.
Deb Baker is the director of nursing in the Department of Surgery at Johns Hopkins Hospital. She's also the president of the Johns Hopkins Nursing Alumni Association and a teacher and nurse practitioner at the school. Mae Morin is the director of Hopkins History Enterprises and a co-author and editor of Our Shared Legacy, Nursing Education at Johns Hopkins, 1889-2006. We'll have information about the book on our website at marylandmorning.org. I'm Tom Hall. This is Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast on 88.1 WYPR. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast is an original production of Your Public Radio, WYPR, in Baltimore. The program's produced by John Notariani, Bruce Wallace, and Catherine Gorman. Justin Lucas and Matt Poland are our interns, and Tom Hall is our culture editor. He's also the music director of the Baltimore Choral Arts Society. Our theme music was composed by Chris Kennedy at Clean Cuts, and coffee comes from Zeke's Coffee in Lauraville. They're on the web at zekescoffee.com. We'd like to hear your ideas for future shows and your feedback about the show you just heard. Go to our website, wypr.org, click on Maryland Morning, and then on the contact link near the top. You can also listen to the last month of shows there. I'm Nathan Sterner for 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. Thanks for being with us.